of, but I won't name, that there are useful publications for other people who have similar questions that would set them on that path.
Is anyone talking in the archive space about decentralized storage for institutional archiving as a way to tackle the stores?
Well, yeah, so I'm part of a digital preservation strategy working group at UC. It's a multi-phase group, and we're looking at this problem because we have probably across UC several digital preservation services, and then there are a lot of other services out, you know, out in the world. And so we're trying to decide as a group what you know, what makes the most sense for all of us, that's going to provide a level of service and a cost that is supportable and that we're not duplicating work. Sustainability of digital preservation repositories is a huge issue. They cannot afford the work they're doing, number one, and yet it's becoming even more important that we use their services, right? Because granting agencies are spending millions and millions of dollars creating digital products, and they don't want to see them die. They want some, you know, assurance that they're going to be carried forward.
But when it gets decentralized or put on third-party services that way, I mean, like, GitHub was heavily praised as being that place where everyone could put their code, and then it was purchased. Mm-hmm. We were at DHSI, I believe, when the news hit that Microsoft had purchased it, and that puts a whole new wrinkle in kind of corporate now ownership of what was originally put up perhaps as an idea of it being purely open. Huh?
Oh, I'm talking about like Swarm and like like, so
I was thinking of like non-institutional.
Well, I mean, that's a question. Like, is that, because there's so much computation power at an individual institution, I would imagine it would be possible to cobble together something that's using the computational resources within an institution, but in this decentralized kind of like local mesh way, rather than relying on any computational power of any theoretical computer on the network of computers that exist.
Are you talking about like digital preservation here, or are you talking about something else?
I guess the question is, are these like decentralized models of data storage that rely on a little bit of data and computational capacity on Charles's computer, a little bit on Chris's computer, a little bit on my computer, harnessed and then backed up?
Are you thinking of like the file systems that John was explaining to us, where
DHSI, kind of,
everyone gets a little piece of the file stream, and
you have
a one location that stores what pieces need to be reconstructed.
So there's like three or four different steps. Yeah, the way John showed us is one, but there's some that are less scary, because that way you can't get it back.
Yeah, because it's more about security and encryption.
Yeah, exactly. So that one's more like...
Berkeley's doing the same sort of thing, but it's more for sort of somewhat active research data. If it's, especially if it's sensitive.
Not for preservation,
Not for preservation. I mean, most preservation archives are dark, unless you want the data. It's not publicly accessible.
Oh yeah, this isn't for a public accessibility reason. It's like purely like the amount of energy used and the like security issues of like, so Apple's cloud being stored in servers in Fallon, like that's like a problem for like many environmental and logistical reasons.
I think
reasons.
Almost every preservation repository is using AWS.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
or Glacier.
That's a scary fact.
Yeah.
It's a fact. Okay. Every major data repository you're looking at or talking about is using those services. But I mean, they have redundancy. They have all sorts of built-in safeguards. But that's why it costs money. I mean, your university is paying, you know, for those services to pay Amazon for space and servicing.
Right.
Well,
and they're running the services on top of your data. Your the repository is doing, you know, the checksums, the fixity,
yeah.
and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But Amazon Web Services is, you know, just basically hanging onto those files.
But that is another, I mean, that's been a trend for a decade or more of
okay.
universities taking their technological infrastructure and handing it off to the private sector.
Because we can't afford to do it.
Yeah.
At least not properly.
But it does raise, I mean, it raises concerns while it solves others, right? So if you have an administration come along that wants to get rid of data, it's not in government hands, but at the same time, it's
yeah.
also putting it on these.
I mean, they have all of our data. I mean, I mean, we all use Gmail, right?
Yeah.
At work. And Google search, I mean, Berkeley search.
Except the ones who have to use Outlook.
Except the
yeah.
ones who work at UNR, none of whom use Gmail on campus, right?
We're not supposed to.
No. We get a big talking to about Google Drive and teaching
yeah,
materials, which
we're
includes
to use
Gmail.
Box.
I mean, I think universities generally are trying to consolidate these kinds of services so that they can get the biggest bang for their buck. And especially like a system like UC, I mean, we have a lot of clout as a huge,
right.
you know, but as a single university, we have less clout than we have as, you know, 10 campuses as a system. So we're going in with that, you know, trying to get the best deal we can on preservation services. And there's no point in having one campus using this service, one campus using that one, one campus using that one. You want everybody using the same service because then UC has some control over the data and the content that's being preserved in their name from their campuses. So there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of just organizational stuff going on.
But there is
too.
A certain scary level at which we put all the books in the Library of Congress and then put Amazon in charge of the Library of Congress. Right? I mean, if we put it in those terms, right, that should unsettle us.
Well, that's
because
our government's not supporting us to do those things anymore.
I mean,
sorry.
Google Books is an example of that.
Yeah.
Like, that for a future administration, there may be a question, why is it necessary to have, like, this is a duplication of this service that already exists, right, in the private industry, and is therefore superior, right?
Yeah,
and can be taken down at any time.
Right.
Well, and that's
Google
why HathiTrust has all the Google Books.
Yes.
What's that?
That's why HathiTrust has all the Google Books.
Oh.
Every Google Book that was scanned by Google and anybody else is in HathiTrust. So that was part of the deal.
Yeah.
Part of the deal that we as a community would get a copy of those files. Unfortunately, I think it was Michigan did not ask for the box bounded coordinates on the text files. So their word searching was a little difficult. But Berkeley learned from them. So anyway, but yes, we have copies of everything. I mean, yeah, Google has it all, and you know, but we also have a copy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, we've gotten increasingly existential again in this last session, so I think maybe we should wrap it up before I have another
this
crisis.
Is right in my like spot right now. This is where I'm working.
We're also about 20 minutes past when we were supposed to begin closing remarks.
We have 10 minutes. 9 minutes.
9 minutes. Well, we actually have, there's the cabs I scheduled for 5 o'clock to come pick you up if you need a cab. In the assumption that we would run over on time. But I would like to start closing remarks by first saying thank you to everyone. I have found the last 2 days invaluable for thinking through what next stages of this particular project would be, as well as thinking through kind of the state of digital humanities and the sorts of work that the field is doing. So I appreciate it.
Yeah, same. Yes, feels like a big privilege to be able to invite you here and have you think about the things we're interested in. And thank you so much for coming and sharing your time, including those of you who've come from UNR. You have a lot of other commitments, and it's a really big deal that you get to devote this time to this project. So thank you. And yeah, we're going to keep in touch about next stages of the project and potential outputs. So we're thinking about different papers and conference presentations. So we'll send around an email and gauge interest of if anyone's kind of interested in adding to any of those. Yeah, and we'll have the open access somehow, a website or repo or something.
Of all of the proceedings that happened over the last few days, as well as the white paper, there'll be a white paper for the NEH grant summarizing and synthesizing all of the things we've talked about in the last few days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, seems like we may have talked ourselves out of attempting a GUI.
You never know.
You never know.
Yeah.
So final logistical things. If you could please, before you leave, email me your slides so that I can include them in the public repository wherever it will live. That would be fantastic. And then also save your receipts, so travel receipts, flight receipts, and the like. And
boarding passes, also.
Boarding passes.
Take a photo of each and send them to us.
Do they have boarding passes or the one with the receipt? The itinerary with the receipt?
We have the itinerary with the receipt.
Okay.
The boarding pass is just for the evidence.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then if you could bundle those in some fashion into either a, preferably a PDF, so that all of your receipts are together, send them to us, and then that will expedite sending them through for reimbursement.
We have particularly persnickety finance department, and they can be a little aggressive about things like patterned or colored backgrounds. So it will speed up your reimbursement to photograph your receipts on a relatively pale background and a relatively unpatterned background with relatively few shadows. I learned from past experience.
Ideally, run them through a photocopier and then say, or a straight bed scanner. They are.
I mean,
they're the happiest
you want.
When that occurs.
Just keep in mind there may be a process of iteration in your receipt photography if it is. Yeah, if finance kicks it back.
Oh, I don't have boarding pass. Everything's on the phone.
Yeah, just a screenshot
just
and add it to the
PDF. That's all beautiful color.
Yeah, exactly. That's fine. Yeah.
Train doesn't have boarding passes either.
Oh yeah, right.
That's fine. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a receipt, but
yeah, whatever. That's fine. Yeah, whatever you have,
yes,
send it to us. Yeah, more documentation, the better for appeasing.
And we had the same kind of travel reimbursement.
Yeah,
okay.
Essentially they need proof that you. The big one is that they need proof that you paid. So your name somewhere on the receipt. Rather than
or
like
the last four of your card.
Yeah, rather than say an itinerary that they're convinced you'll make a reservation, cancel it, and then submit reimbursement.
That's why you have to have those boarding passes, because they want
right.
to make sure you actually got on the plane.
Yes.
Right.
Which
right.
is so funny. Like,
yeah.
I was at the meeting,
just
is that not proof enough?
Right. Right.
There's a picture.
There's a recording of
there's a picture
the
of me. No,
yeah.
Funny.
Well,
yeah,
you took the train, but you bought a plane ticket.
You bought a yeah. You bought a plane ticket, canceled it, then walked and pocketed
yes,
that money.
Yes, pocketed the
money.
Are there any final thoughts or takeaways that anyone else would like to share, or comes up for anyone?
I mean, I am curious what the next. What are your next steps with this? Because I mean, I feel like this was really great. I mean, this was really great for me
mm-hmm.
because this is, I mean, from my perspective, really important to think through some of these questions. So I'm just curious what the next step is.
An advancement grant, although what the new name?
Yeah.
The
so
grant
the nearest term is writing up the white paper, and what will come out of the white paper will then shape how we will apply for next, like, and what we will ask for the next stage of funding, which. Ideally, will be from the NEH, but I think some of the conversation is also thinking about seeking other funding streams as well, and kind of what would you ask for? What are the absolutes? So that's why a lot of my questions were like, especially in the last session, what is absolutely essential versus what would be amazing, and where's the middle, so that we know where to ask and
if everything were to go to plan, we'd apply for another Office of Digital Humanities Advancement Grant for a 3-year project implementing the extensive documentation and building community of scholars and audience, like user research, user testing, and not a GUI, and adapting existing tools and building a radical collaborative team, and we'll publish at least one peer-reviewed paper out of this, at least one white paper. Aya's been doing great work on graphic recording, and like with the ethical visualization, we're very motivated to do like broader impact dissemination, like basically lay faster turnaround sharing of information. So that'll be part of the website, and also potentially my J school background, potentially some like create a little social media image campaign around that, just with a little like snapshots of shares from this to kind of build that hopefully online impact or inclusion for people who have not been here but are maybe interested in the same issues or trying to tackle the same issues, and to kind of get the word out in that more journalistic way about what we're talking about, what we want to do, what you all have been contributing. Yeah. And if you have ideas on that note, in terms of if your institution or research group has a newsletter or blog posts or any way that you would be interested in having, we could potentially adapt content for your outlets, or you know, speak with you. You know, maybe we can cross promote complementary efforts in that way. Because the more we can amplify these issues, it seems like there's several avenues where we're really on the edge of kind of future big things in terms of the ethical issues, the storage issues, the imagination and post-colonial, like the histories from below, and how to surface those in the visualizations. And it would be really great to get some momentum. That's my personal motivation. Or a big one for me. I have tenure now, so I get to do what I want. And what I want is to build communities of scholars doing cool things. Mm-hmm. So I see this as a great way to start the conversation.
Yeah. All right, well, I suppose we are adjourned. If you're staying, and you have time tomorrow morning, checking out Tahoe would be fantastic. If you need recommendations of things to go see, I can provide some. If you want a taste of
Yeah, definitely.
Old-